Welcome to episode 3 of Nothing New Under the Sun. We have a new guest, and her name is Faith Jameson. Middle name Lynn.
Yes.
We're excited for this podcast because I have not heard all this story. So I think that's why I'm the most excited about this one so far.
Yeah.
No offense, Andrew. I already knew your story. Okay. But I am excited to hear Faith's story. And I wanted to start doing this. The purpose of this series of podcasts is that so we, as church members, get to know each other better because we see each other coming and going, but we really don't know. It's hard. It takes a long time to get all the details of somebody's life. And people that come in this room have a testimony to share, and it's exciting to hear. So it's important for us as church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to share our stories with each other. And this is just a way of doing that. So we're excited about that. Scotty, do you have anything to add?
No, I'm excited. I told Tink earlier, I said, I know of Faith, but I don't know her well. So I'm excited to get to know her better.
Yeah.
So speaking of, in 2 minutes or less, tell us about yourself or as much time as you need.
So my name is Faith, as we've covered. I am from Burlington, Kentucky. I've lived there my whole life. I'm 19 years old now, and right now I'm working in retail, and that's about it.
So where did you go to school?
This is the part where Scotty presses with lots of questions.
I do. I'm nosy. I want to know.
And go.
I just graduated high school from Cooper High School 2 years ago. And before that, I went to Camp Ernst and Long Branch Elementary.
Nice.
Graduated high school 2 years ago.
I know Long Branch didn't exist when I was in elementary school.
We're getting old, Scotty.
Truly.
Okay, so grew up around here, grew up in Burlington, went to school here. What else? What else is exciting about your life? Tell us more. You're 19. You work at Target. If anybody needs a discount, that's probably fake news. What else? I'm asking her to ask more or to tell more. Why am I doing that?
Because you're trying to be like me.
I just want to know.
I want to know everything about you.
Yeah. We'll find out more.
We will.
Give us a summary of what your life was like before Christ. This should not be a glorification of sin, but the major points of your life before you were saved.
So as a kid, I did go to church with my family. My grandpa is actually a preacher, so we did go to his church a lot when I was a kid. However, it is like 45 minutes away, so it did kind of become a hassle for us to go there. So we ended up switching to a church that was closer to my family, and we went there. And then we tried another church with some friends, and then we ended up not being a good fit for that church. So then we tried another church, but then unfortunately we kind of stopped going to church. And that kind of leads into like holidays as a kid. Like I remember like, yeah, we did celebrate Christmas and Easter and stuff like that, but it wasn't really like Jesus being born and dying on the cross for our sins. It was more of just like the Easter bunny and Santa Claus and stuff like that. So it wasn't really a very Christian-like representation of the true holidays. And I just don't really think I ever truly understood religion when I was a kid. I think I just went to church because my family went to church. And I do think it took a while for me to truly understand religion.
I mean, all that makes sense.
Makes sense to me. I think Christianity has become such a cultural thing for us in America that it's just another thing on the list a lot of times. Like, I made it to church. That's a section of my life. I'm a Bengals fan. That's a section of my life. I work at Target. That's a section of my life. It just becomes just another part of your life rather than your identity. So, as it pertains to that question, give us a summary of what your life was like before Christ. So, you're going to these churches. And you're young. You're still young.
Yes.
Can we agree on that?
She's young. She's so young.
It makes me feel old. but you're not gripping faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
This during that period. How, this is the next question that Scotty is going to read.
Okay, perfect. How did Jesus rescue you from your sin, and how did you move from spiritual death to spiritual life? Tell us your salvation story.
So I do feel like I was truly saved probably around the time of like my 15th birthday. I do remember what I asked for my birthday that year was a Bible because I wanted to start reading the word for myself.
We're going
to
stop there. That's amazing. I wonder what I asked for at my 15th birthday.
It was not a Bible.
No, it was not a Bible.
It was absolutely not.
I'm sorry. I had to just pause there. Go ahead.
So that was about the time that like we were all like quarantined and isolated, but that did really end up really good for me because it just gave me more time to truly devote my time to reading my Bible and understanding the word of God. And so I kind of feel like that kind of led into like why I was saved, because I just had so much time to devote to it, to like read it and truly understand it. And then once I was able to drive, I did start going to church with Caleb.
Who is Caleb?
Caleb is my boyfriend. We've been together for about 5 years now. So he has went here his entire life. So he invited me to come here with him. And I'm very excited that he did, because I love it here. But I did start going to church when I was 17, and I did start going regularly with some occasional off weekends, just with being busy, being a 17-year-old, I guess. And then I was always kind of scared to be baptized. I knew that Jesus was sent to this earth and he died for my sins on the cross. And I always believed that ever since I read the Bible for myself and I knew it. But I just was always scared to be baptized, but my fears of being baptized were very worldly and selfish. I was just scared of going up in front of the crowd and seeing what everyone else was going to be looking at me. And then I did read verses Matthew 10:34-39. And I can read a little bit of it. I won't read the whole thing.
Will you read it in that country accent you were telling us about earlier?
I don't think so.
Shoot.
I tried.
But Matthew 10:34, or I'll start at 10:38. And
you read as much as you want to read.
It says, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loves his life for my sake will find it." And I just feel like that really resonated with me, because I was just trying to live my life still, even though I knew that Jesus was the only answer to all of my problems. I just was still just trying to live my life without him. And the Bible tells me directly here that I will lose it if it's not through him. And so I just decided to put all of my like worldly views on it aside and just look at it as the big picture of like what the Bible says about it. And I knew that it was time for me to be baptized. And so the following Sunday, I ended up coming up after service, and I then was baptized that following weekend on Sunday.
That's awesome. My follow-up question was going to be, did someone in the church kind of like pursue you, or did you make the leap by yourself?
I did make the leap by myself. Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes. It is awesome, but also kind of disappointing, because I wish someone would have like discipled her a little bit, but I am so excited that you did it on your own by God's conviction.
Yeah. And I remember you were baptized. It's probably 6 months ago, I guess. Maybe longer than that.
I don't think so. I think it was probably around April or May.
Yeah.
Is that 6 months?
Probably close.
Yeah. I have no concept of time.
I know it was within this year.
I don't know that it was this year. It probably was though. But I remember you came forward, and I was so excited because it just felt very genuine from you. One, because I'd never spoken to you ever in my life. And you came forward and you just said, I want to be, and I don't remember verbatim all the things that you said, but I just remember looking at you and you said, I want to be baptized. And I don't know how I said it exactly, but are you sure? Like, what's going on? Didn't we have this conversation?
We did, yeah.
What's going, like, what's causing this? What's stirring you up? Like, what's the deal? Do you remember that?
Do you remember
it more vividly than me? I remember vividly you, I think it was probably a phone call after this, but you said that I've just been reading the Bible and it's just, it means something to me in a way that it hasn't before. And that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
That's, it's living and active. And when you read it, God changes you. So when you said that, I'm like, this is the way it should go. It's not a question in my mind. Like, what the heck's this girl doing? She's reading the word and it's becoming real to her. Yeah. So that was exciting to me.
Yeah, I do definitely like feel like me reading the Bible from like this year on, like has definitely like meant more to me now than it did when I started reading the Bible. I'm not really sure why, but I just know that like it's really been like I've actually been able to interpret it, and it's really just been like settling with me a lot more lately than it has been.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to get to the question that we get to. I'm going to get to the question or the thought that we've gotten to over the last two podcasts in just a second, but I want to catch up on these written questions and make sure we're covering everything right. So this, okay, we're going to recap. You believe you were saved at 15. You're 19 now, and you were baptized when you were 19. Now, we know that baptism is just a symbol of your salvation. It's a public profession of you saying, I believe that Jesus is God, and he came to this earth to live a perfect life and die for my sins. And because of that belief, the Holy Spirit is in me. I believe this. Step number two, you've repented. You've said, I know that I'm sinful. I know that I need a Savior. Jesus is a Savior. And I believe all the things that I just said, that he came to earth. Step number two is baptism. Repentance, belief, baptism. So that step of obedience took 4 years. And you admitted just worldly shame is not the right word. Pressure, just to get in front of people. And it's definitely a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a vulnerable situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was a stranger to you. We get in front of 200 other people-ish, 150, 200 people, and I dunk you underwater.
Yeah.
Takes a bit of vulnerability. Like,
so much trust.
Yeah.
In this stranger.
Yeah, especially too, like we live, like I only live in America, so I don't know what other cultures are like, but touch is weird in our culture.
Yeah.
Like for me to put my hand on your arm, I know you don't like it, but like just a huge and awesome moment of vulnerability for a stranger to say. And we weren't total strangers. You've been coming here for a while, but like you and I weren't connected to each other. So for you to come forward and say, hey, look, I want to be baptized because I know that scripture tells me to do that. And I'm not going to let anything hold me back. Not this weird touch, like, because it is weird. Isn't it? Is it not?
It is. Like it reminds me of being a kid in the swimming pool, you know, and you're like running around pushing people underwater, but there's like meaning behind it. And so it's like,
yeah,
brings back some of those memories.
I mean like the vulnerability of it all. Like,
oh yeah,
I really have to go up there.
And then you ask the questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, I forgot.
Yeah. So this gets us to our, I say all that to say it was exciting for me and I'm proud of you for saying, I don't really care that I have to get in front of all these people. I don't really care that I don't know this guy that well. I don't care. I'm done caring about those things, and I'm going to be obedient to what Jesus calls me to do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
So that gets us to question number five, and I assume your baptism is a highlight or spiritual marker. But the question is, are there any highlights or spiritual markers that have grown your faith that you would like to share with us? Faith.
Yes, definitely.
We got it.
definitely being baptized was one of the biggest markers and highlights of my journey with God. But I really think going to church regularly and starting to be involved, I know that I could probably be involved a lot more, but going to Sunday school and going to church on Sundays, I do feel like that was probably a really big step for me, just with like not always going to church as a kid and not always seeing the importance of it. Now that I do see the importance of it, I just feel like it's a really big like highlight in my walk right now.
And well, before you shared that you and Caleb have kind of decided together that church is going to be a priority for you guys. And I think that's a big marker, because it is hard to look at your employer or whatever and say, Sundays are off limits, because a lot of people don't care about Sundays, and you don't necessarily know what the response is going to be when you're telling them.
Yes, that probably was a really big highlight too, because I used to put work before church and stuff like that. But I do feel like I have definitely put a stop to that. And I just I feel like I've been able to get my priorities in line. And if an employer is not interested in that, then I guess I'm not interested in them either. And me and Caleb have had that conversation before about that.
Awesome.
I'm going to pry a little, if that's okay. And I'm not doing this to inflate the ego of Bellevue Baptist Church. I just want to, you've mentioned that you have gone to a couple places. What is it? There's a church for everybody. As long as it's Bible believing and teaching and preaching, that go wherever you want.
Yeah.
But what specifically about Bellevue meant more to you, do you think?
I definitely think I had a bias introduction, which probably made me like it more, since Caleb had went to church here since he was a little kid. But I just feel like it was always like a family, even when I didn't like know a lot of people here, because he did. And so then when he would introduce me to people that he'd known since he was a baby, like Scotty, it was just very like warm and welcoming. And like Dale, he just was always so sweet and nice. And I just feel like everyone was always so nice here. And
Dale's going to get the big head.
Oh my gosh, we're never going to hear the end.
Yeah. Josh, can you edit that part out? Timestamp this. I'm just kidding, Dale. Love you.
And I do know that like at some churches, I know that like as a kid, I would hear like people talk about how like how they were judgmental or just other bad things. And so I just felt like I never really got that like vibe here. It just never seemed like the general vibe of the entire church. So
I do remember the first Sunday. It might not have been the first Sunday, but one of the first Sundays that you and Caleb were here together, and my mom, because we've sat in the same row for the past, I don't know, 1,000 years. And she was like, who's that boy? Who's that boy? And I'm like, I don't know, because his hair was long and I hadn't seen him in a while. And I was like, oh, it's Caleb Abden. And she's like, who's the girl? And I'm like, why would I know that? Why would I know that? So then immediately I had to know who you were, because, you know, A, I'm nosy, and B, I feel like it's really hard to walk into a church for the first time ever. You know, like going to any new place is hard, but walking into a church and you're like, Caleb says they're nice, but are they really? Especially as a woman. I feel like it's different as a woman. And then, so I've seen you interact with more people and go to Sunday school. And I, from an outsider, watching that growth is very cool. Have anything to add there, Tink? Your wheels are really turning over there.
I'm thinking if I want to press faith further or not in this question or move on to the next one.
She can say no.
She can say no. I think we've touched on spiritual markers well. Okay. Read the next question, Scotty.
Okay. How is God growing you in this season of your life?
I made notes for all of these questions, and this was the one question that I could not make notes on because I really had to think about it. But I think since I know you guys said that I'm still very young, but I do feel like I am starting to become an adult, and I'm starting to think about buying houses and everything like that.
I'm glad you're saying this, because it's getting me back to what I was going to bring up earlier.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So it's just getting me into like, where is the next step of my life? Like, obviously I have a job and I'm working, but moving out, getting married, having kids, starting a family type thing is definitely probably in the next step or two of my life. So I've just been thinking about that. So I feel like in this season of my life right now, I feel like God is definitely trying to grow me as I am right now before I step into my next part of life. I definitely don't feel like I would be ready for a commitment as big as marriages in the Bible for anything like that, because it is just, the Bible just explains it to be such a big commitment and how like important it is. And so I know that I have a lot of growth to do before I'd be ready for that. So I feel like I'm probably in this season of life trying to just like grow myself, because I was just recently baptized. So I'm definitely still trying to grow independently and just.
How old is Caleb?
Caleb is 19.
Caleb, you're both 19.
Yes, we are both 19.
Okay.
You're trying to marry all our young ones off.
I just want to see people get married. Yeah. Christians. I want to see Christians marry Christians.
I completely agree with that.
Not at 19, though. Are you getting married whenever you want? Caleb's in my men's group. I'll ask him.
Preferably over the age of 18. Don't get married.
Oh, they've got that.
I know, but you're telling all of our listeners.
I don't know how 19-year-olds financially survive in this world right now, but we cannot get sidetracked by that at the moment. I was going to ask a question. Oh, here it is.
I'm ready.
The golden question. Hers is different, though, than yours. Okay, so we've interviewed you, or me and you interviewed together. We interviewed Andrew last week, and both of y'all said, I was saved when I was 12. I'm kind of making stuff right up. I was saved when I was 12, but I didn't start taking it seriously until I was 25. I was saved when I was 15, but I didn't start taking it seriously until I was 19. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
I don't know why. I answered it last week. Why do you think that happened, Faith? And there's not like a right or wrong answer, I don't think.
We're freelancing out here. No judgment either.
I think mine happened because I did have more time to read the Bible. So I definitely understood it more now when I'm 19 than I did when I was 15, because I've never read the whole Bible. But I just feel like I read snippets of it when I was 15, and then I'd read more snippets of it and verses that I saw them talking about on TikTok, or I heard in church that Sunday, or I saw in someone's bio on Instagram. But I don't feel like I truly decided to read like entire books and stuff like that until I was 19, because the snippets, they just weren't all adding up. And so I needed to read the whole story. And so I feel like I probably started taking it more seriously at 19, just because I started reading the Bible and understanding more parts of it all
Faith
together.
Faith is a model church member.
She really is.
Faith is a model church member, and all of you all should take notes. If you are part of this church, she says, I was just getting snippets of the Bible from social media, and I got tired of those snippets, so I just picked up the book and read it.
Read it myself.
I read the whole thing.
Went straight to the source.
Not the whole thing, but
I read a lot of it. A lot more than the snippets I was getting.
I think being 15, you're still like really in the world at 15. Like you were kind of in quarantine at 15, but
I'm 34 and I'm pretty sure I can also be really in the world.
I know, but your brain is different now than when you were 15. So like you have a lot of 15-year-old things going on around you. And then like 19, still pretty young, but like you're seeing the world in a different light. But it's also like and maybe this is my just assumption, is I think at some point in your Christian walk, you have to choose to leave the world behind you. And although you are saved, maybe you haven't, like, you know in your heart that Jesus is Lord, but you have not chosen to leave the world behind you. And I think that kind of comes and goes. Like, not everyone is a perfect Christian every day. Like,
I'm glad I keep asking this question over and over, because I just had the thought, like, I'm saved and I'm 15. I don't take it seriously till I'm 19. Convictions change.
Yeah, absolutely.
They deepen to, like, oh dear, it's been 4 years and all my Bible intake is TikTok.
Right.
you know, I should read it for myself, you know? Yeah, mine all happened at once. It was just like, oh, I had the 19-year-old experience like at 26 or 7 and just dove in. Of course, yeah. But of course my convictions have changed in that period of time. So
right.
I just think, I don't know, I'm getting a better answer in my own mind by continually asking the question.
I feel like the more you ask, the more you know.
Maybe. Are there any highlights or spiritual markers? Have any other spiritual markers?
You went back a question.
Did I?
Yeah, we were talking about how God's growing us in our life.
I'm not perfect, okay? How is God growing you in this season? Tell us about your Sunday school experience. Okay, here's the question. And I want you to answer this honestly. Do you get more out of Sunday school or a worship service? You walk away from each. Do you feel sharpened by one versus the other?
I think it definitely depends on what is being taught during each, because during the 8 weeks of this Sunday school class, there has definitely been some where it didn't really sit with me. Like, I heard it all, but I was like, okay, yeah, but I was making my own worldly arguments, like not necessarily against it, but I was like, okay, yeah, like I knew that, but that's really hard. Or I was just making excuses of like, I know we shouldn't judge, but everyone judges. And so there was some Sunday school classes that like, maybe I didn't feel them. I didn't learn the most maybe, or I didn't walk away feeling the most. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is here. But then there's also some Sunday services where I just definitely, I'm like really taking to heart everything that's being said. I'm highlighting verses in my Bible so I can go back to them. And then there's some that I'm listening to, but then the Sunday school class, I'm thinking about the Sunday school class during the Sunday service. So I think it just depends on what I'm listening to the most at that time, if that makes sense. Like what
I think you,
I'm paying
I think
the most attention to.
Yeah, I think you're able to connect more with whatever applies to you the most at the time.
Yeah.
But also that could get dangerous.
And I think sometimes
it's not like you're not asking. You're not thinking like, well, that doesn't apply to me, so I'm just gonna move on. But sometimes things just
kinda. And I think sometimes we run from our convictions. So like if you're sitting in Sunday school and you're like, yeah, I don't really do that much. So then you're like blatantly, you're kind of ignoring everything else because you're like being convicted and you're like,
Yes, I definitely agree with that statement. Yes.
I miss just sitting and listening to somebody preach.
You're busy on Sunday mornings. Yeah.
Sheesh.
And you do Sunday school too.
Yeah, that pretty much runs itself, though.
That's awesome.
Well, we're doing a book. What else? Is God growing you in? I'm just going to keep asking the same question over and over. How's God growing you in this season of life?
I do feel like the Sunday school class that I'm in is for godly women. And I...
Shameless plug.
I'm lost on that statement.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Shameless plug on the Sunday school class.
Come to Sunday school.
Yeah, you're really promoting Sunday school right now. This is great.
So it is an 8-week course, and it's on godly women. And I did mention earlier that I do kind of feel like since I was baptized recently, and I am kind of starting to look at like the next steps in my life now that I've graduated school, and like I'm looking at like the next parts of my life as of like marriage and kids and stuff like that, I do feel like becoming a godly woman is probably the first step, or should be the first step, for those next chapters in my life. And so that was honestly why I wanted to join the Sunday school, was just because I knew that I needed to grow myself to be a better Christian. And I know that what the world views as a good woman is completely different than a true, devout, godly woman. So I was really interested in this class, and it's really been really eye-opening and helpful because it shows we've been focusing a lot on what a cultural Christian is and what an actual Christian is, and being a devout believer and evangelizing. And so it's just been very eye-opening, and I really have loved this Sunday school class.
Follow-up question. It's only an 8-week class, so when the time comes and it's over, are we going to find another Sunday school class to attend?
Oh, snap. Ooh. Scotty's bringing the pressure.
Yes, I have been interested in wanting to find another Sunday school class since this one is over. However, I don't know of any other Sunday school classes that are here other than the Sunday school class that Caleb's in, which is the Titus 10 for godly men. Only.
You don't want to go to the men's class? Men only.
So
you're not welcome around these
parts. I guess
parts.
I just need to do a little bit more research on the Sunday school classes here so I can pick one, or maybe I can do a little trial and go to a couple for the next couple weeks
maybe
and see which one I like.
Maybe you can lead the next women's group.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that.
She's like, oh, yeah, okay.
And then did you say this on here? I don't know. You were talking about you feel like you're getting more involved. Do you feel like the Lord is calling you to get even more involved in church? Or do you feel like you're at like where you need to be? I'm not calling you. I'm just, what's the Lord saying to you?
No, I really feel like I do need to be more involved in church. And I do feel like the Lord is calling me to be more involved in church. I just think I'm being selfish and probably having very worldly views. However, I did just join the event planning committee.
Oh, nice.
So
rock on.
We're getting there. Sunday school, event planning, going to church on Sundays.
You can come to youth anytime.
We're getting there. I've thought
come
about
hang out with
it.
The girls.
Okay, I will.
Come on. Everybody's welcome, right?
Well, there you go. You could, do you, you're teaching the youth one? On yeah. Sundays, youth Sunday school?
Well, unless Paula takes it back. I'm unsure we have not discussed it. But you could go with Paula or me to youth.
Yeah, you're just a year removed from youth age. So
I know. They might like you more. They call me a millennial all the time. I'm not even that much of a millennial.
I don't know what I am. What
you're
is
a millennial,
that?
Okay, brother. Whatever. We're not that far from
like
age.
A boomer.
You, in your heart, you are one.
Awesome. What a compliment.
But I think that just the way you're talking, it seems as though like you're trying to find your place, and it takes time, like where you would like to serve.
Yeah. Also worth considering, God has you in an awesome place.
Yeah.
Don't think I'm not doing enough.
Absolutely.
Like I need to do all this stuff and these things. You're 19. And I know we keep hammering on your age, but praise the Lord that you were saved at 15 and started taking your faith seriously at 19 instead of saying, I was saved at 15 and I start taking my faith seriously at 55.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So God's got you in this place at 19 before you're married, before you've fouled up your life and you've been married 3 times and had 7 kids or whatever we see happen. We see this stuff happen all the time. God has you in this sanctifying moment that you can focus on doctrine, meaning I want to dig into the Word of God to understand how I can be the most God-glorifying woman that He will allow me to be.
Yeah. No, I think that's so important.
So don't get overwhelmed thinking you got to do all this stuff. Just focus on this and don't say yes to every single thing somebody asks you. You should do this. You should do that. You should do this.
You can come hang out.
Say yes sometimes, but focus on, I don't know, I'm just thinking about my own life. The last 7 or 8 or 9 years, you know, the reason I'm thinking about doctrine, our men's group just finished a chapter about doctrine and how men don't take doctrine seriously.
Oh, really?
And by doctrine, I mean knowing and understanding the Bible, what the Bible means, and putting it into action and letting it shape your life. That is that's doctrine.
Oh, yeah. Ashley read me a really good snippet out of your book about that. And I don't remember what it said, but it like when he read it, it was like basically like, if you are a Christian and you're not sharing the word, you are not following the commands that God has given you.
Yeah.
Or something like that along those lines. And I was like, oh, maybe
you
that wasn't the chapter.
You can't fully know and understand what God wants you to do if you don't seek to understand what He wants you to do through the word.
Yeah, that's awesome.
People want to say, well, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. It's all right here. It's not complicated.
Right.
He wants you to be saved and he wants you to make disciples. He doesn't want you to lie, cheat, and steal and do all this wretched worldly stuff, chasing after money. He wants you to devote your life to him and make disciples.
He really does lay it out so clearly.
It's not complicated.
Not at all.
I think actually, Paul goes on to say that, and now if Caleb's listening, better figure this out. Paul goes on to say that if you can avoid it, don't get married because it's just going to be a distraction to you.
Caleb, don't listen.
How do we feel about this? You can honor God more through your singleness if you can stand it. But if you can't, then go on and get married. So that's the good news if you want to get married. But you have an out, Caleb. She has an out.
The Lord did tell us to multiply the nations, though. I mean, it wasn't Genesis, but, you know, he did call us to do that.
He said to be fruitful
and multiply.
Yes, yeah. Yep, I'm with it. Okay. We've asked the question, how's God grown you in this season? I'm not going to ask it again.
Are you sure? We've already asked it a couple times.
I'm just trying to prolong this so we can finally hear that country accent.
Maybe she'll do it at the end.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to say to give our listeners some encouragement?
No, but I do think something that was encouraging to me that might be encouraging to someone else is just hearing from people that, like, I look at as being like really good Christians and just really good people going to church every Sunday and being part of committees. And we were talking and they told me, they're like, well, yeah, it seems like you open up your Bible a lot more than I do. That's good. And then it just kind of made me realize that, like, we all go through a little bit of dry spells. Like, there are some times where we might not open up our Bible for a week, which isn't good, but it's okay because it seems like we all kind of come out of it once we know that, like, there's an answer.
I heard a little bit of the accent, right?
There's an answer. We got it.
So if we elaborate on that a little, you're saying that... What are you saying? What is she saying?
I think I'm saying, sorry, I probably didn't elaborate it very well, but I think what I'm saying is that when you do get into a dry spell and that you don't know what else to do, and when you are thinking, like, is this really God's calling for me? I think that the only answer is to open up your Bible, because I feel like that's the answer that we always fall back on. Like, once you're like, yeah, no, I haven't opened up my Bible in like a couple months, and then you do, and then your life gets back on track again, and everything starts making sense again. I just feel like that all of the answers are in the Word of God.
Amen to that.
Amen. I was thinking, she's saying, you know, if you're in the dry spell, you recognize you're in the dry spell. Like, your only choice is to open the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's where you have to turn.
I wonder why my tank is feeling empty. Because right. I haven't opened the book for a month.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So probably in the past like year and a half, my husband and I have been work like truly like devoting our time. I mean, we read it together, but you know, we've been working really hard. And he said, like, yesterday, today, he said, it's crazy how much changes in a year when you choose to put the world behind you and just focus on the Word of God. Because a year ago, I was real sad. And, you know, my serotonin came from a bottle. And now I'm not.
What kind of bottle?
Zoloft. And so, like, I wasn't in a place where I should have been with the Lord. And I'm not saying, like, I'm a therapist. I know all the things. But when you recognize where you are at in your walk and you're like, oh, hey, maybe I should do this, and you make the change, you, like you said, you will see the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, I think what you said when you were sharing that the first time, you said, you talked about people that you perceived were very involved in things and said something like they admitted maybe that they weren't so devoted to scripture. And you appreciated that, like, that admittance of that. Is that a word, admittance?
Yeah.
Okay. I think what I heard in that is it's not good. That's not a good trait to have, but you heard authentic confession, like, oh goodness, I'm not doing so hot. Like, I think that's something that we miss in church life sometimes is authenticity. Mm-hmm. For people, just there's a fine line. You don't want to be yourself in full, because we're all wretched idiots, kind of
wretched sinners, wretched, saved by grace,
wretched black-hearted sinners. So you can't just walk around in that. But also, I think it does more good than harm to be real and say, man, I'm struggling. Even to say something like, I don't even want to go to church. I hadn't wanted to go to church for the last 3 weeks. If you don't bring that to light, how's anybody going to drag you out of that?
And I think in cultural Christianity, it's like shame, shame, shame. Whereas in your real walk with the Lord, if we don't lean on our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're never going to go to the next step.
Here's the ultimate example of that. How are you doing today, Scotty?
I'm good.
Are you?
I am good.
Are you?
I am.
I'm pressing everybody today.
I don't know how many more ways to say good.
Yes, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm getting ready to not be fine. That's Scotty's little catchphrase. But the point of me saying that is, how many times does somebody ask us, How you doing today? And you're like, I'm good. And you're not good.
Hold on. What's the one? Oh my gosh. The people always say, never mind.
I don't know why. I don't know.
You know, when you're like, how's it going? And they say something. Never mind. You can cut that part out.
Well, isn't highly favored? That one?
No.
That's just Dave Ramsey that says that, isn't it?
I wasn't ready for Dave Ramsey to enter the chat. No. I don't know. It'll come to me when this is over.
Yeah. Well, it'll be over. At that point, does anybody else have any, do I have any encouragement? Do you have any other encouragement? Do you have any encouragement?
I want to hear your encouragement.
I hope that this podcast has been an encouragement. I just want to say again, high praise to this young lady who is not a normal 19-year-old person.
Thank you.
She asked for a Bible for her 15th birthday.
Yeah, that's not normal.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I hope that my 15-year-old children, when they get to that point, ask for Bibles for their birthday. I don't foresee that.
I know for
that.
My 16th birthday, I got a bike. So, like, I don't remember my 15th birthday, but I know I didn't get a Bible.
I think my encouragement is, as it relates to faith story, is to lay down your own discomforts, like... The baptism thing is the big one in this story. Like, it's step if you're not willing. Okay, here's the way I like to think about it. If you're unwilling to get in front of people to profess your faith in a church setting, it tells me in my mind that if you can't do that, how are you going to share the gospel with the lost person at work?
Oof, I feel like that's going to get some traction.
I'm not going to get up in front of all the saved people and say that I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to go share the gospel? Question mark?
Right. Oof.
Not a good look.
Yeah, that's tough.
So that's really step number one. I mean, it's humble yourself before God and say, here I am. I'm going to let some stranger man baptize me.
Dunk me in that water.
And this is a huge step of obedience that makes me uncomfortable. And you say, I don't care. I'm cool with that. And you build so much traction when you start saying yes to things that God wants you to say yes to. All of a sudden, you're sharing the gospel with people, or you're going on a mission trip that you couldn't imagine going on. Or
was that a hint? Is there a mission trip coming up?
There can be.
We can only hope and pray.
Yeah. Where do you want to go?
Nowhere.
Say Australia and he'll take us.
Yeah, Australia, Africa, anywhere. I'll go anywhere. Yeah. But I think... Your yes, I mean, if he's telling you to do it, just say yes.
Yeah.
Be baptized, yes. Share the gospel, yes. Be ready to preach in season, out of season, yes. That means preach the gospel to individuals. Just yes, Lord, you tell me to do it. I want to do that. Even if it makes me uncomfortable, that's the whole point of deny yourself and take up your cross. So I'm just glad that we have among this church people that are willing to deny themselves. And we've seen that in you. And that's why we ask you to be on this podcast.
Yeah.
So golf clap for that. Is that going to be our new thing? Golf clap? No. Okay. It didn't work.
We're cutting it off right now.
What is your encouragement?
Go to church.
Yeah, that's good.
Go to church. And I'm not saying, like, obviously you don't have to come to Bellevue Baptist Church. Like, if you already go here, don't leave. But like, go to church, find a church. If you move away from Bellevue, find a church where you move. Because if you don't have the fellowship with believers, it's very easy to become very dry in your faith. And that's my encouragement. Maybe also go to Sunday school or small group or whatever your church offers to build that. To get your
seek,
like,
to get, seek to know God through his word.
Yeah. At the end of the day. Yes.
Yeah. Faith saw that that works.
I know she is.
I did. Yes.
A great church and member.
Hopefully she will see that for the rest of her life. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you said yes to this.
Me too.
Yep. And you mentioned being a godly woman, you need to get into the book of Proverbs, and you probably read this already, but Proverbs 31 talks about, probably it's the chapter that talks most about, biblical womanhood. So check that out.
Alrighty. I will.
And
that's a good one. Reread it a lot.
Read it every day. What else we got? I think that's it.
I think that's
we're going to have another guest coming on soon. Don't know who it is yet.
If we say one of their names, are we just volunteering them? I feel like it's not the right thing to do, but.
Yeah, probably not. All right. Well, who would like to pray us out of here? I always say that. That's like my kid. Who's going to pray us out of here? Who would like to pray for us today before we leave? I
think Scotty would really love to pray.
I would love to.
No. Okay. Last Hail Mary effort. No. Country accent.
Oh, yeah. You got to do the country accent. Come on now, y'all.
Will you pray in the country accent, brother?
I will not pray in the country accent.
I
got to
quit calling women brother.
Feel like that's the only thing you've ever called me.
Put this thing to rest, Scotty.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for bringing us here together to talk about Faith's testimony and her salvation story. And I know that you will use that to glorify your name and to touch someone, whether they be here in Bellevue or on the other side of the world. I pray, Lord, that Faith continues her walk with you. I know that she was just recently baptized, but being recently baptized doesn't mean that she has just this short stint of knowing you. She has known you for quite some time now, and I pray that you keep working in her heart and you keep guiding her as she grows older and makes decisions about her future, that you are always her go-to, her lighthouse, her everything. I pray that this podcast serves you well and that we can take it along for as long as you will allow us to do it. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.